Secrets in 1959, it admitted 18 black students.
I'm Chris Woodward.
And for American Family News, I'm Steve Jordahl.
In this day of economic uncertainty and soaring unemployment, safe investments are often hard to find. But investing in the precious metals is the safest investment of all, because gold and silver is real money. Government-printed currency is not. Call Melody Cederstrom at Discount Gold and Silver Trading Company at 1-800-375-4188. Melody has been helping people secure their financial future for over 10 years. While others in the business claim honesty, Melody will deliver. Give her a call, 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188.
Years ahead of the dominant media, FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and again, we're going to be talking about the Kingdom of God and compare it to what we see going on in the kingdoms of the world. When it says, the Bible talks about the Kingdom of God is at hand, and that we're supposed to seek the Kingdom of God. Well, the word kingdom there actually just means government. It's the ruling authority of your lives, and of course, the ruling authority of the lives of the people who follow Christ is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of creation, the Spirit of life. And that's what's supposed to be ruling you. But the rest of the world, the flesh and the devil, seem to want to have control. And because we don't always follow the way of Christ, the world, the flesh and the devil, sometimes get control over our minds, and therefore over our bodies, and therefore over our lives, and therefore over our families, and therefore over our community, and therefore over our nation. Because we don't really understand how the kingdom of God works and how it functions. We don't even understand what it is. We don't understand what it looks like. And yet we're supposed to be seeking the kingdom of God and the righteousness of God. Which is another thing that we don't always know what looks like. The righteousness of God. What would God call righteous deeds? And what would God call unrighteous deeds? And that's a real important thing to contemplate, to wonder about, to pray about, to think about, to ponder, so that we can actually understand what God is, you know, what God's righteousness looks like. So we can say, you know, I'm not really doing the righteousness of God. I'm doing deeds that are contrary to the righteousness of God. And, of course, we know that those would include the deeds of the Nicolaitan, because the Nicolaitan, the deeds of the Nicolaitan, God hates. He hates the deeds of the Nicolaitan. So those are not his deeds. Those are not righteous. Those deeds of the Nicolaitan are not righteous. And we also know that the deeds of the Nicolaitans are the same as the deeds of the error of Balaam. And they actually would include the error of the people who went into the bondage of Egypt. Their deeds, God hates. Because he says he doesn't want us to go back to Egypt. He doesn't want us to go back to that bondage of Egypt where we are subject to the rulers of Egypt, where they can put pressure on us to abort our children, to, you know, cast our children out, and because that's what was happening at that time. They wanted to reduce the population of the Israelites, and so they created, through systems of the Egyptian state, they created a situation where people were actually casting their children out. The idea of having more children was a bad thing, and they were untimely generated. And if you go read our articles on that, we show you the actual Hebrew and Greek words that were used in reference to describing what was going on in Egypt, where they were actually starting to give their wives pessaries that we know existed back then. We know they existed in 600 B.C. because of the fact that in the Hippocratic Oath, that was one of the things that the doctors who took the Hippocratic Oath were supposed to not give a pessary. And if you don't know what a pessary is, it's an abortive substance. It's something that causes a spontaneous abortion. And that was part of the Hippocratic Oath, that a doctor was to do nothing to give a woman a pessary, cause an abortion. Because the idea of reducing the population of the world, reducing, is not an idea of God. God wants to give life. He wants to have as many people alive as possible. And, of course, there's a way to do that. Ecologists are saying that the Earth could actually carry a lot more people than it carries now, comfortably carry a lot more people than it carries right now, which is supposed to be like 7, 8 billion people. And we're not maxed out in any way, shape, or form. And, I mean, you can go all over, even over China. You know, it's supposed to be such a crowded country, and there's vast areas of China that nobody lives in. They could live in. They've actually built cities, huge, giant cities, with, you know, apartments that could hold thousands of people and stadiums and everything, and nobody lives there. They just built these extra cities. They're all inland for some reason, but they built them, and nobody lives there. And you have to do your own speculating. I mean, they're really there. You can really go see them. You probably can't go see them, but they are. You know, they have made videos about them and toured them and everything. Why did they build those? And there's all kinds of speculation and conspiracy theories. But the reality is there's lots of room in China for even more people. There's a lots of room in the world for all kinds of things. But you have to love life to make room for life. And there seems to be a spirit in the world that is not making room for life, that actually wants to diminish life, diminish the value of life. So where does that come from? And, we're going to look at some of those things. I've added a lot of new information and expounded on information already present at Preparing You. And we're going to touch on some of those basic ideas, and we're going to revisit some things like, you know, how do you create a free community, which seems to be what Christ was preaching. The kingdom of God would be a kingdom-type community of people, or a variety of communities of people that are in multiple places that are interconnected to make this. That's what a nation is. A nation is comprised of multiple communities in a general society where the people are bound enough together somehow through social bonds or economic bonds or cultural bonds, or maybe all three of those things, so that they are a nation, a peculiar nation. A peculiar people is a peculiar nation. You know, I mean, the word Gentile just means other nation. And other words that you look at in the Greek and the Hebrew, when they talk about a people, they're talking about a nation. And so the kingdom of God is about nationalism. But there's all kinds of nationalism. There's all kinds of forms of government. There's all kinds of forms and types of communities. And there's all kinds of social bonds. that may band the people together. But are those social bonds based on virtue? Or are they based on force? Are they based on greed? Are they based on avarice and wantonness? Well, of course, the kingdom of God has to be based on the righteousness of God, and of course, that would be the virtues of God. And so that's what we look at in order to figure out what the process of looking for the kingdom of God really looks like. And so those are some of the things that we're going to explore today, and we're going to look at a lot of things in order to get a clear image of that, but not just a clear image of it in the sense of what is true, but a clear image of it in relationship to what is false. Because in order to find the truth, a lot of times you have to put a line through what is false, what is not true, that you've already accepted to be true. That just ain't so. Because, you know, that's what Mark Twain says, is that that's what gets us into trouble. It's not so much what we don't know, but what we absolutely know is true that just ain't so. And so we're going to look at some of the things a lot of people think that are true, that are actually myths, that are actually false, that are actually not true. And, of course, that's what Christ was doing. Somebody wrote this week and was talking about the fact that we have to protect ourselves against the Pharisee spirit. And because the Pharisees were quick to criticize and to put people down. And we shouldn't have that spirit of wanting to put people down and criticize people. And I thought, like, well, somebody should have told Jesus that. He's talking about people being vipers and terrible and evil and not bearing fruit, and he's going to take the kingdom away from them, and that they're hypocrites, and that's very critical. That could be counted as hate speech. But, you know, to not tell somebody that they're doing wrong, that's actually hateful. You should inform people that they're doing wrong. But you have to be careful about that. And Jesus warns about that, you know, casting pearls to swine, because they'll turn on you and rent you under. So what's a swine? It's somebody who doesn't want to be anything other than a swine. They don't want to be anything other than a viper. Which is why most of the criticism that you see coming from Christ came later in his ministry. Because you have to be led by the Holy Spirit. And it's very important to be led by the Holy Spirit. But, I mean, like, what does that look like? How do you know it's the Holy Spirit? Because we know that evil can appear as an angel of light, so you may think that you're following the Spirit of God, and you're actually following the spirit of the unrighteous, of the demons, of the bad guys, you know, whatever you want to call them. You know, the bad spirits that lead you down into a pit of darkness. And actually, that's what I've been seeing going on in the news, is that there is a large number of people that are seeking a spirit of evil, a spirit of darkness, a spirit of hiding, a spirit of not wanting to see things. This is why we see so much of that censorship going on in the news. I mean, we've always had censorship. We've always had fake news. I mean, you go back to Jefferson, and he's saying that if you don't read the news, you're uninformed. If you do read the news, you're misinformed. So why are you misinformed when you read the news? Because there was fake news when Jefferson was in America. So that's not a new thing. Although the term fake news was fairly new. It was actually coined by people like Obama. He was the one that was first talking about fake news. It wasn't Trump. It was Obama. But we know, anybody who's looked at the news objectively, which is not everybody, obviously, even the people who like Trump and they see that he was, you know, this is one of the things I was astonished, is that they were picking on Trump and on his wife and on his kid. That was all used to be taboo, and they were just, I mean, they were like savages going after him. and the name calling and the misreporting and the Russian conspiracies, and that ended up being totally unfounded. But people have locked into those stories, and you can't change their minds now. Not that I want to become a defender of Trump, but I always want to be a defender of the truth. And even, you know, it's hard to have sympathy for a multimillionaire, but that's the fact, is that they were going after people with tenacious venom that was just unfair. But what we need to do is look into our own hearts. And because the fake news, the CNNs and MSNBC, well, Fox News even reports things with a bias. NPR reports things with a bias. And so, you know, you can look at all of them, but you have to realize that all men are liars. So all of them will lie at one point or another. Whether they know they're lying or they're just in error, incompetent, or whatever, that's another thing. But the good news of the Bible, that the kingdom of heaven was at hand, and that we should be seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness, that was a good news, but there's also fake good news. And that has permeated Christianity, what calls itself Christianity today, what calls itself the church today, is immersed in the fake good news. And so how do we tell the difference between those things? Well, there's a spirit that comes with those spreading the fake good news. They don't want certain ideas to flow. There's, in the fake good news, in the fake kingdom, in the fake church, there's no freedom of speech. There's censorship. And of course, we saw that with the Inquisitions, where they're actually killing people and burning people. But you can go back to the early, what we call the early church. It really wasn't the church. It was the Church of Constantine. The Church of Constantine was a different church. And this is one of the things that I've also been working on, is I usually get my inspiration when I wake up in the morning. A couple days ago, I woke up in the morning and I said, who is at these councils, like the Council of Nicaea and the Council of Milan? Who are the guys who showed up there? I mean, the Council of Milan had a lot of people show up. Over 300, they say, showed up. And you know, all the bishops were invited to the Council of Milan. They weren't just invited. They were actually ordered to come, according to Constantine's command, that all the bishops of the Roman Church were supposed to come. And, of course, since they had been persecuted for off and on for over 300 years, they weren't going to rush down and go to the deal. And there was at least 1,200 known bishops. Now, when I say the word bishop, you know, this is one of those things that you have to be guarding yourself against. Is when I say the word bishop, you're going to think of what you think of as a bishop when you look out in the modern church. And you'll say, oh, that's the institutional church. Because I just read this morning, somebody sent me a note that the institutional church has to be attacked. And I thought, like, that doesn't sound very Christian. Actually, that's going to play back in when I tell you what went on at Nicaea. But the idea of censoring some people, we see that immediately in the Nicene Council. We actually see that with one of the very first bishops of Milan, which we've already got an article up. It was just Ambrose. Ambrose was a guy who wasn't a Christian, didn't know anything about Christianity, but Constantine made a command that everybody in Milan had to become a Christian. They had to go out and become a Christian. And so they did. They all became Christians. They actually, a lot of them went and got baptized to become Christians. But that wasn't the call from Jesus Christ or John the Baptist. It wasn't to get baptized and become Christians. The call was to repent, get baptized, and therefore become, you know, become Christians. But supposedly that's what, they didn't even have the word Christian then. They had followed the way. And that's what Christians did. They followed the way that Christ was laying out in the New Testament and the in the Gospels and in Paul. They're laying out something. Unfortunately, most people who read the Bible today don't see what they were laying out. It's there. It's right there in black and white. But they don't see it because something's been happening. All the fake good news has been permeating their minds, and they've been accepting ideas, and now they can't let go of those ideas because they believe they were true. What they were told, they believed that was true, and now they've accepted that, and now to admit that what they were told and they now believe to be true is not true takes a certain amount of humility. And people are not willing to do that, just like, you know, all the I hate Trump people who are just obsessed with hating Trump, and then they find out, oh, there was no Russian, that's a Russian hoax. There's other reasons I hate him, you know. He just irritates me. Well, once you become irritated and hate somebody, for whatever reason, it's hard to let go of that hate. It's hard to forgive them and to just calm down. And the reason why it's hard is because haven't been following the way. Christianity, modern Christianity, for the last 100 years for sure, but even for the last 1,000 years, a great deal of what has been called Christianity has not really been doing what Christ said. About 1,000 years ago, the beast was unchained. the dragon was let loose in the world. That prophecy is actually already in motion. But I know a lot of you aren't going to believe that because now that goes against what you've learned in your catechism, but that's not the subject of what we're talking about today. We'll have to address that elsewhere. That's the thing, is there's so many lies now that people have accepted as truth that when you talk about one, that's not truth. That goes against what I believe, so it can't be true because what I believe is true. No, this is where you have to come with a humble heart if you're going to learn anything. All students should come with a humble heart, willing to hear. Self-censoring is the worst kind of censoring. Self-censoring builds a prison where, you know, like you put your hands over your, I'm not listening. Because you can't even, you don't even want to hear an opposing opinion. That means that what you believe, you don't really believe it. You think it, but you don't really believe it. When you really believe something, when it's really ingrained in the depths of your heart and your soul, it can't be overturned just by somebody saying something. It can only be overturned if you doubt. But if you just think something, if your identity comes from a thought, rather than from the very soul of your being, then when somebody has an opposing opinion, you feel threatened. You feel attacked, and you want to censor them. You'll self-censor them. You don't even need, you know, Google and Twitter and all these things. Everybody thinks that now that Elon Musk is buying Twitter, and that, I thought it was really funny that when the announcement that the deal is going through, it isn't really gone through. I mean, he's not down there on Twitter ordering people around or anything yet. That's going to take a little bit of time. But immediately, hundreds of thousands of people started following certain conservative people that were still on Twitter. Well, they didn't all just join. I mean, thousands and thousands of people. What it was is their application to follow certain people now has been let through because the algorithms were evidently stopping them. And people who supposedly had tens of thousands of followers on the left suddenly lost those followers. Did they all just quit Twitter and they all lost them at the thousands and thousands a day? No. No, the algorithms had to be shut off that were making everybody think that so many people were following. But anyway, we'll be right back to Keys to the Kingdom.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mined supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
This idea that Elon Musk is now going to own Twitter and then free speech is going to be back. Elon Musk is not your salvation. Even if Elon Musk, you know, I think it's great that he's doing that. I find it fascinating, like I said, because you can clearly see that they're flicking off their algorithms that were giving us a distorted view of how many people. I remember when, you know, what were they going to do if Biden kept drawing crowds that couldn't fill a bowling alley when he was running for president of the United States? They had to do something, so he hid out in his basement, and they just didn't even have rallies. But yet he had millions upon millions of votes. Well, of course, a lot of those votes were people, I hate Trump people, who were manipulated into hating Trump by false stories that just came one after another out of the, you know, the traditional, what do they call the media that is actually the media of madness, the fake news people. And they got huge numbers of people just, and I know some of them in my, family members that just believe all kinds of stories that were floating around that are just absolutely false, and they're still clinging to it. They won't let it go. And so they just the sound of his voice, all their hate is focused on him. I mean, there's actually people who have, not in my family, but that there are people who actually have voodoo dolls that they stick pins in, you know, that look like Trump. And, you know, that's the old burning people in effigy kind of thing. But this is all hate-driven. It has nothing to do with Christ, you know, making these choices based on that. But anyway, supposedly, Biden won the election. He's president. He's got one of the worst poll popularities in the history of the presidency, going back quite a ways. But he's supposedly running the show, but obviously is not. Somebody else is doing it. I remember quoting one of the Supreme Court justices years ago. He says it's not, you know, our ruling class, the presidents and congressmen that rule the country. It's the vast bureaucracy of the government that has become the new George the Third. And that's what's happened. This is what you see in the FBI with its, you know, where they are catering to somebody who has control of these institutions, of the CDC, of the FDA, all these different organizations, these bureaucracies that has been created in this multi-billion-dollar corporation called the United States. They're calling all the shots, and somebody is controlling them. And we see the same thing in the press. But the fact is all those things that are going on in the press, and what we're hearing, and the supposed policing powers of these bureaucracies like FBI, etc., national security, and all these things are feeding the frenzy of a psychosis. A delusion where nobody is in love with the truth. They're in love with their imagination. They have imagined a world. They imagine who people are. And they worship that image that they have imagined. And that image was created by the media, by the bureaucracy, by the constant repetition of stories, whether true or not, is irrelevant. Once they're accepted, they're now, that is the, I heard one of the senators, Senator Johnson, I think it's Ron Johnson, who was giving a speech. I don't know exactly when it was. It was recently put up on Scoop, but it had to have been a little while back where he was doing this, like in Congress or in the Senate. And he had boards he was pulling up and everything. At that particular time, the VAERS death count for people who had taken the vaccine, who had died within days of taking the vaccine or a booster, was around 19,000. Of course, it's probably 10,000 more than that now. Just the VAERS count, which we know is only about 1% of the actual cases, so the actual number is probably in the millions, but nobody knows, because even though these are government, part of the government data in their own bureaucracy, they try to poo-poo it by saying, "Wow, no, anybody could fill out these pages." Well, actually, anybody can't, and there's no evidence that there's some kind of conspiracy of people sending in false reports, and all the reports accounted at VAERS actually go through CDC. And they try to find some reason to discount it, and still there was, last I looked, there was 26,000 reported deaths within days. And I actually know people who got the shot, didn't want to get the shot, forced into it, coerced into it, and they did die within 48 hours of getting the shot, of blood clots. And they were young people, fairly young people, in good health. They could have got COVID and recovered undoubtedly, because 98-99% of the people who get it recover. It's only people with other health issues. But nobody wants to look at that, because they've already been, their thinking has already been created by the media through the use of fear. Constant repetition of something you need to be afraid of. And there's other things coming down the pike that they will have you being afraid of. Now it's food shortages. We're all supposed to be afraid of food shortages. By constantly reporting that kind of story, you're going to have people going out and buying more food than they normally would, which is good, it's fine. But that's going to create a shortage. We already were creating more of a shortage than 18 fires over 6 months in food processing plants. So there's thousands and thousands of food processing plants, 18 of them. That's not a large percentage. It just seems coincidental that many of them were damaged, but I know some that were destroyed, absolutely burned to the ground. They've already got another building, and they're setting up to fill that warehouse as well, and they were insured, and so they're recovering. And that's the way it works. But if you panic half of the country to go out and buy twice as much food that they normally buy in a given week, you're going to see shortages. And then that's going to feed more fear because people are going to go in and see empty shelves, which we're not used to seeing, although we had a little bit of that with the whole toilet paper thing. But it starts, you know, the first time I went into a store, which I don't go into a store. I haven't been in a store for almost a year now, at least a half a year. I probably was in once or twice in the last 12 months. But I went into a store during the beginning of the, you know, toilet paper panic. And I saw somebody running around with their arms full of big bundles of toilet paper, and they come out of the aisle and they looking both ways as to which way to go. What am I going to get now? And they were like in a frenzy. They were like in a panic. I seen the same look in a cow that thinks it's cornered and it thinks it has to run for its life. And you know you don't want to get in the front of that cow because she'll just run right over you. She is in such a panic. And it's the same as that little lady shopping with her arms full of toilet paper. Well, now you're going to see that with food. But that's all fear-driven. But we have a whole nation of people that are fear-driven. Do we know why so many Americans are fear-driven? Why so many Americans are hate-driven? We can go to Australia and see the same process. It doesn't have to be Americans. Certainly we see it in Europe. Why are so many people fear and hate driven, anger driven? And like I've told people many times, fear and hate is the same thing. It's fight or flight. That's coming from the same place in your soul, in your mind. Fight or flight, fear or anger, judgment. Because you either fight or flight. You know, we call it, this judgment, this anger. That's the fight. The run is the flee. You know, but they're coming out of the same thing. If you're afraid, you will be angry. If you're angry, you will be afraid. Because those things will take a cycle in you. If you're seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness, you will not be moving from fear or anger. You will not be judging others. You will not be blaming others. You will not even be blaming yourself because you have to forgive yourself as well as to forgive others. You have to forgive your enemy. The fake news people, you have to forgive them because you have to leave judgment to God. But then what is God? People don't even know what God is. And in truth, you can't really even know what God is. It's the concept of God, the creator of the universe. That's too big a concept. That's like, a number with a million zeros. That's an infinite thing. You don't know what it is. We just call it God. We even say, call him God. Some people want to call her God. But him or her, I mean, you're limiting God as soon as you start trying to get his pronouns right. It's like, you know, like Trudeau and his didn't want to say mankind. wanted to say womankind or personkind, I think is what he was opting for. Well, the fact is, mankind includes women. It's because the word woman includes man. A woman is a man. She's just a woman. It's all part of mankind. To say mankind includes all women. But these people, they don't even think, because they live in their imagination, and their imagination is manipulated by the world around them, the world, the news, the media, the flesh, their own lusts and desires and fears and angers, and the devil. What's the devil? Yeah, the reality is there is a spiritual realm, and God created the physical realm with the spiritual realm. If we look at the Bible, that's what it says. He breathes upon the water. He breathes into man and gives man a life that he didn't have without the breath of God. Man is made in the image of God. Man has the characteristics of being a creator also, at least a procreator. And he lives in the world. He has a job, dress it and keep it. And but he can actually do so, dress and keep it, with the character of God. And the character of God, we know by the stories, by all the myths of all the religions, includes several characteristics, but one, it includes the idea of sacrificing. Your life is not more important than everybody else's life. You care about others as much as you care about yourself. Well, the I hate Trumpers, or the I hate, you know, Democrats, or I hate, you know, a particular race. I hate whites, I hate blacks. Anybody who's operating from trying to blame everything on somebody else, or at least a large portions of everything, you know, Russians. Yeah, I hate Russians. All these are falling prey to a character that is not of God. Because God doesn't even hate the Nicolaitan. He hates the deeds of the Nicolaitan. The world that hated him, he doesn't even hate the world. He so loved the world that he was willing to give his only begotten son that the world might be saved. And he actually uses the word in there that is the world that his kingdom is not a part of. But he still wanted that world to be saved. God even wanted Cain to be saved. Because God does not hate life. He forgives his enemy. But then there is this thing we call the wrath of God, and we think, oh, that's the anger of God. Well, there's a dozen different, oh, well, at least a half a dozen different words in the Bible that are translated into wrath. And they're not all, none of them, I think, hardly are always translated into wrath, except maybe one of the Greek words. But it's not hate. The wrath of God, and we'll do a show about this eventually, but the wrath of God is literally the cause and effect of the universe, built into the universe. The wrath of God is the effect of the cause, which is set into motion immediately when you do something. Every time you do something, the ripples that you are causing by doing that are in the universe. They're in the singularity, it goes out into the cosmos, and it has its effect. But you don't always feel the effect until later on. When the feeling of that effect reaches you, we call that the wrath of God. That's what the wrath of God is. But that's just a brief look at that. So let's go back to, how do we see the kingdom of God? How do we seek the kingdom of God? How do we recognize the kingdom of God? And how do we distinctly separate, distinguish the righteousness of God from the unrighteousness of the world, which is the system of men, specifically the system of men that don't want to live according to the character or the way of God, this way of giving life? They want to take life away. They want to They want to reduce the number of people on the face of the earth. They don't love the life of their neighbor. They love their life. Their life is more important than the life of their neighbor. You know, people who think that way are not going to find the kingdom of God. The people who want to shut up their neighbor or shut out their neighbor or whatever, or hate their neighbor, hate the Nicolaitans and hate the leftists or hate the conservatives or hate the white supremacists. You're not supposed to hate the white supremacists. You're supposed to forgive them. You're supposed to stand for righteousness. But we don't do that. We're sucked into this cycle of hate and fear. If you're afraid of what's coming, it's already here. Its effect is already taking hold of your soul. So how do you get out of that? How do you get away from that? So anyway, this is what we're going to be talking about more and more, and so that you can start seeing what the kingdom... start seeing what the kingdom of God looks like, so you can actually say, this is not it, or this is it. How that works. You know, the whole thing of censorship and fake news, like I said, Obama was, I think, the first one that I can remember that mentioned it, long before Trump mentioned it. You know, and the censorship that supposedly Elon Musk is going to save us from on Twitter. And like I say, I'm fine with him doing whatever he does. I think he should, you know, follow his heart. Follow it. But even if, like I said, if he was filled with the Holy Spirit, he's still not your salvation. It's only when you're filled with the Holy Spirit that your salvation is nigh unto you. And you know you're not filled with the Holy Spirit if you're afraid, if you're angry, if you're judgmental, if you're blaming other people for the problems that you're facing, then you know you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is a comforter. When you make decisions based on the leading of the Holy Spirit, you will be comfortable with those decisions. If you're not comfortable with your decisions, if they're full of fear and anxiety and depression, you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. You can't feel depressed and be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's just, and I'm not picking on you if you're depressed or you have a problem with depression. But just know that's a sign. If you're out coveting your neighbor's goods, if you're out hating your neighbor, if you're out hating the Russians or hating this group or this guy or that guy, you know, they'll hold up somebody, let's all hate this guy this week. You know, then you know that the Holy Spirit is not in you. Hate is in you. Darkness is in you. And from that darkness will come that hate. Now, like I said, you know, long before Obama left office, he turned over what they call ICANN, I-C-A-N-N, whatever it is called, what does that stand for? Internet Corporation for Assigned Names and Numbers. He turned over that outside of America. It wasn't controlled by America anymore. Which also means that the what is the other one? IANA, the Internet Assigned Numbers Agency or Authority. I think it's Authority. He turned that over outside of the United States. And, of course, that's the first thing you hear in the news warning Elon Musk that if he allows too much free speech in Twitter, he's going to run into problems when people log into their Twitter in Europe or in the countries of Europe. See, I saw this coming years ago. And you know, I actually saw things... I see more statutes being passed. You're looking at Oregon because I have relatives who share this information with me. And, of course, I'm by following the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit brings information to me. And it also gives me, you know, through the Holy Spirit, which all of you have just as much access to as I do, but you have to actually listen to it. You can't put your hands over your ears and your eyes and say, I'm not listening. You have to actually listen to the Holy Spirit. And a lot of you don't know how to do that, which is why I encourage people to go on the website and learn meditation and start doing meditation. You know, there's all kinds of meditations, but we talk about a particular one, and I think it would be helpful to a lot of people. And if you join the network and you want individual counseling, you want to get on, that's one of the things that we're probably not going to have the community call for a little while. People are misusing the community call. They're just kind of bored and lonely, and they want to get on a call and talk to somebody. All the congregations, all the people who sit down in the tens, hundreds, and thousands, like Christ commanded, can have their own congregational call. And we can take those congregations and we can have, I don't know, whatever you want to call it, an assembly call, a church call. And everybody who is already sitting down in the tens, hundreds, and thousands, they'll be given that secret number to call in. And if people want to set up individual counseling calls, we can do that within limits. Hopefully, you know, we're already doing that to some degree. And what we all have to do is start learning how to be counselors and how to follow the way of Christ, that will set you free. Because all these other ways, the Church of Constantine is not going to set you free. And we were talking about that with the first bishop in Milan was Ambrose, knew nothing about Christianity, was elected by all these new Christians who did not repent and get baptized and become Christians. They just got baptized and said they were Christians. Now, they did some things more like Christians, but very clearly in their own record, in their own history, which we go into in our article about Ambrose and our article about Constantine, they were committing the error of Balaam from day one. And then, you know, day two, Ambrose, this new bishop who had to take time off to go study Christianity to find out what it was that he was the bishop of, didn't even know. He became the bishop before he even knew what a bishop actually did, which is why modern Christians today, if I say the word bishop, like I said at the beginning of the show, if I say the word bishop, you're thinking the bishops of Constantine and Constantine's church as it evolved over 2,000 years. But that's not the bishops of the early church, which were actually called overseers. That's another way they translate the word. They're not rulers. They don't exercise authority. They exercise service. And this is key to finding the way, which we'll have to talk about when we come back to Keys to the Kingdom after this brief break. So come back, we'll look at it.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.
Since the beginning of time, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it, it has been traded, it has been borrowed, it has been purchased, it has been stolen, there's a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty, to ourselves and to our posterity, Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188 or visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, right here on FirstAmendmentRadio.com at 4 p.m. Eastern or 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, 1-800-375-4188.
Years ahead of the dominant media, FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
The book of Revelation says, "The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ." This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone, absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.
Welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. So that Ambrose guy that we were talking about earlier, who became a bishop of a church, who is considered a father of the church by a church that is not actually following the way of Christ, but is following the way of Constantine and the world governments, whose power as a church is granted to it by the world. See, the power of the church established by Jesus Christ is granted to it by Jesus Christ. And, of course, we have articles up, had them up for years and years. We have the book, The Covenants of the Gods, that talk about, you know, your church is either incorporated by Christ or it's incorporated by somebody else. It can't be incorporated by both. And the corporations of the world and the rules of the corporate power of the world, which is itself a corporation, I mean the world, by definition, the word world that we see in those quotes, you know, like "my kingdom's not of this world," or "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that it might be saved," is the definition of that word is constitutional order or system of government. If it's a constitutional order, it's probably a corporation. I mean, you read the Constitution of the United States, it's creating a corporation. A lot of people say, oh, it was in, what was it, 1871 or something like this. They changed the United States into a corporation. Nonsense. I mean, there were changes. We have articles up and done shows on this to show you what was really going on. But the reality is, just reading, I mean, it's talking about its officers and its offices and its division of powers and how you elect people. That's a corporation. It's two or more people gathered together for a particular purpose under a pre-existing authority. And the Constitution was written under the authority and not the people of America, but of the states. Which we have an article, We the People. Go look that up at Preparing You. And we explain. And we show evidence, facts, where even the Supreme Court agrees with us that We the People doesn't refer to all the people in America because they never voted on it. They wouldn't have voted on it. Historians agree. They would have voted the Constitution down. It was so unpopular amongst the people. But We the People were the people at the bottom of the page. They were the people of the United States, and eventually they added to those numbers when states began to ratify and participate in the corporate charter, which is the Constitution of the United States. Even after that was created and implemented, the states, according to one of the most fundamental law books in America, used for almost a century now, used to train lawyers. Clark Summer of U.S. American Law says that the states were still as foreign to each other as Mexico is to Canada. They were actually separate countries even after the Constitution of the United States was implemented. So the Constitution of the United States did not really create United States of America nation. It was a group of nations, 13 at first, and now some 50. But it's an organic constitution, so they've added a lot of amendments, and all the citizens have changed their relationship with the government. So now they have become, because they have become members of the government, no longer citizens of their state, but citizens of the United States, they've all become We the People. But that was a process of people seeking something that caused them to change that relationship. And of course, now there's guys out there trying to sell you on the idea that you can become a state citizen again, and then you're free of the United States federal government. But we can go through that step by step, that most of that is bogus. Very easily explained and proven to be bogus by the facts, by actual information, not wishful thinking. You do not want to reason out things with wishful thinking. You want to have the facts, but of course all those facts are fruit of the tree of knowledge, and you can pick this fact and that fact and that fact, and you can come up with a conclusion. But maybe you didn't pick enough facts; you came up with the wrong conclusion. So in order to get the right conclusion, you may have to pick more facts from the tree of knowledge. And then you say, oh, that's where somebody says, well, all I have to do is fill this out, and then I'll be free, and then they have to recognize me, and they have to, but what about this fact over here? I'm not looking. I'm not listening. That's what you get. They don't want to look at this fact over here. But see, if they were eating of the tree of life, it would show you what facts are important or less important. It would give you the answer before you looked at all the facts, and then you could go and look at the facts and see if the answer you got from the Holy Spirit was, or the Tree of Life, was actually true. You see, this is what they're telling you in the New Testament. James is telling you this. You think you're saved because you think you've received the Holy Spirit and that you are following the way of Christ, but are you? How do you know if you are? By what you do. If you're following the Holy Spirit, you're not going to do the deeds of the Nicolaitans. You're not going to go back into the bondage of Egypt. You're going to remain free souls under God. But that's not what's happened, because people have been listening to the Church of Constantine and bishops like Ambrose, which in the last part of that story that I will add to, which I cover in our article on Ambrose, is that Ambrose, we still have the speech, appeared in front of the Roman Senate, asking the Roman Senate to persecute people who did not believe in his view of Christianity. Not Christ's view of Christianity, his view of Christianity. His view of Christ. Of course, he went and studied to learn what Christianity was all about. His actions show that he did not really believe in Christ, that he believed in the way of the Nicolaitans. He wasn't like Paul, who said, we have a table of which they cannot eat, and covetous is idolatrous. He was allowing you to covet your neighbor's goods through Constantine. He didn't change it that much, which we see right there in their own records, that Constantine, who was killing his partner and confiscating his partner's family's property, and of course that meant he also had to kill all of his partner's family so there would be no heirs to the property, and therefore then the state would confiscate that property. And he did this with whole villages of thousands of people. He killed them to get their property. And so he had all this extra money, gold and silver and property, and he signed it over to the church that he was creating, the Church of Constantine. And Ambrose was okay with that. Ambrose thought, yeah, I'd like to have some of that property, some of that silver. He didn't give out much gold. Gold stayed with Constantine because the army ran on gold. But the silver he was willing to give to his new church bishops, which became hundreds of bishops rather quickly, probably thousands of bishops. Of the 12,000 Christian bishops that existed, we know existed before the Council of Milan, only 319 supposedly showed up, and there's a question with that account, because all of those that showed up may have not been bishops. We know sometimes several bishops showed up together, and so they would be all counted as bishops. But some of the people that showed up were not actually bishops, but assistants. And they later became a bishop, but some of them became bishops under Constantine, and some of them were at the Council of Nicaea. And we'll go through this in a separate program, but there was arguments at the Council of Nicaea that now only had a small number of bishops. I think that most of the bishops, and this is what I woke up that one morning, said, who was at the Council of Nicaea? And so I looked it up. And they tell you the history of these people. Right away, the guys who formulated the creed, theology of the Trinity. Now, I'm not saying there's not a Trinity. I'm just saying that some of their versions of the Trinity are distorted and false and misinformation, fake news, fake good news, the way they interpret it. And you know this by what they did. And what did some of those bishops do? They immediately began to exile other bishops. And how did they exile them? They had to move away from the congregations that they served. They could still serve those congregations, but they had to move to another country, thousand miles away sometimes. Well, in those days, you move 1,000 miles away, you're pretty ineffective as a minister to the local people because they didn't have telephones, they didn't have cell phones, they didn't have shortwave radios, all of what you may need and more in the days to come, because they intend to censor the real truth. They've been doing it for hundreds of years, but they are going to do it in greater and greater earnest. But, I mean, one of the things that I'll just tidbit on, one of the particular guys, and we'll go through this when we go through these councils and who was at them and what they were deciding, besides exiling people, so by doing that, they're actually telling the local people that are assembled in free congregations, free assemblies, you can't have this bishop. You can't have this minister of ministers. That's what a bishop was. He was a minister of ministers, a servant of servants. Christ talked about that. That's how you go up in rank in the church established by Christ. Now, see, I just use the word rank. A lot of people, do you think that's a rank of authority? No, it's not, because Christ forbid that. You weren't to rule one over the other. So going up in the rank of the church, from Christ's point of view, is getting down on your knees and being a better servant of servants. Because he was not creating a hierarchy of authority, but a hierarchy of service. It's upside down from the world. So a bishop could not command that a particular minister could not serve his congregation. He didn't have any power to do that. He wasn't sending you ministers or priests from the top down. He was on the bottom. He was down on his hands and knees washing your feet, which is another whole story of, you know, I won't go into it. It'll just get too confusing. But it's the kingdom of God is the reverse of the kingdoms of the world. They're not going to try to shut you up. They're not going to try to exile you. They're not going to ask the Roman Senate to persecute you. Or they're not going to ask the European Union to persecute you. Which we can go back to Obama. You know, and I'm not picking on Obama. It's just a matter of history. He turned over ICANN. And IANA, I guess you could say them in those way, Internet Assignment Number Authority, to people outside of the United States. Why? Because they had to get it away from things like the Constitution. Not that the Constitution is your salvation, but at least the Constitution talks about freedom of speech. You don't have that protection in other places, that corporate protection. So they can, you know, you can say, well, a private company could do what they want. And this is one of the things that I mentioned that I have access to seeing. You know, I've done this for years, even before I knew people actually in government. Now I know a lot of people. I've actually had people in my house this morning already who are from government and work high up, right with the governor of Oregon. So they give me information you don't get from, you're not going to get from the fake news outfits. You're not even going to get them from Fox News, which is just a conservative fake news. I mean, they all tell the truth somewhere, but it's how you mix in the lie that turns the whole truth into a lie. But anyway, besides doing that, now we also see the Countering Foreign Propaganda and Disinformation Act, which was introduced into Congress, I think it might have even been passed. No, I think it was introduced back in 2016. Originally, it was called the Countering Information Warfare Act. So you can look all those things up. Again, I'm not trying to create fear. I'm just showing you how this... It was supposedly bipartisan legislation that you know, was written back in March of 2016. These congressmen aren't writing these things. Somebody else is orchestrating these things. And they're coming from dark places of control and power. And that's what we see Constantine doing. He was giving some people back an semblance of freedom, because even the Church of Constantine was to be supported by contributions from the people. But it was jump-started by contributions from a mass murderer. And Jesus would not have taken those. The early church would not have taken those donations from mass murderers who just rob people right before their eyes. It's a matter of history. It's not a secret. He murdered his partner. He murdered all his partner's family, all the children, and confiscated his property. So he had millions upon millions of dollars to give to somebody else. And this is the root of the Church of Constantine. But anyway, this goes on, 2017, National Defense Authorization Act, and then you can go look at the European Digital Service Act. And all these guys are setting these things up, like the additional councils want to confer some exclusive enforcement power to the European Commission, notably to oversee providers' obligations to manage systemic risks of misinformation, whatever they classify as misinformation, that censorship spirit, that bringing darkness where there was light. This is the spirit that is coming, a spirit of darkness. And from that spirit of darkness will come fear and anger and judgment and censorship, and to bring more people into darkness, to remove the light, to block out the light. But that they will deny that this is what they're doing, that we don't do that. You know, like the International Telecommunications Union will say, well, I think they call it ITU. They will say that we don't create policy. But what they do is they motivate countries. So now when you tweet on Twitter, if it goes into certain countries, they can censor it. And so it doesn't get out to other countries. So then they'll have to demonize somebody else. All this is made possible by the mass formation of psychosis that began at least with Constantine, where it started to get you to believe in the symbols that represent Christ and his teaching rather than in his teachings itself. This idea of using either private individual countries that set, and what a lot of these individual countries are doing is they're turning the power of censoring over to corporations within those countries. And since many corporations are multinational, that will be easy to do, and they will censor that way. But the point I'm trying to make to you is that there are those that love the darkness, and there are those that love the light. And those that love the darkness want more darkness, and if you start to bring the light into the room, they will want to crucify you. They will want to shut you up. And so you have to create, and this is why Christ commanded, that you create your own network of righteousness. But you don't know how to create that network of righteousness, which is the kingdom of God, because you don't necessarily know what righteousness looks like. So I added two articles that I already created, and I actually created some other new articles, but I added to our Church and State article, which we just went through in the last couple of weeks, and we'll have more recordings out on that article before the end of the week. Our article on, when the masses, which is a part of the quote of Polybius, when the masses with an appetite for benefits at the expense of their neighbor began to degenerate. And, of course, that's what's happening. When those bishops that followed the ways of Constantine had an appetite for benefits, and that was what I was going to say, the one of the last things, one of those guys who wanted to exile certain people, and their popularity, eventually Constantine let them come back out of their exile, and then that guy got exiled. So there was a lot of this exiling back and forth because he would not relent. He was just, I hate non-Trinitarians. If somebody didn't believe in the Trinity as he taught it, they believed in the Father, they believed in the Son, and they believed in the Holy Spirit, and that's a sort of Trinity, but not as certain of these guys who were the bishops of Constantine taught it. But they were so popular, and the guy who wanted, the original guy who wanted to, you know, who was voting for these creeds and these doctrines that he was going to impose on people with the force of the Roman Senate, or the, at least the emperor, he eventually was exiled. Not so much at their demand, but because people who were real Christians knew that he was dishonest. He was actually, the first time he was exiled, he ended up being exiled five times. The first time he was exiled, it wasn't because of his beliefs, which is what he wanted to exile others for. It was because he withheld shipments of grain to Constantinople. He diverted them away from Constantinople so that people actually went hungry. Why? Because there were too many people that didn't believe the way he believed in Constantinople. So he starved everybody in Constantinople because he wouldn't allow grain shipments to go there. Well, let me ask you this. If you understood what a bishop was really doing, Paul was like a bishop because he was appointing people, recognizing that these people, looking out amongst the people, and they said, well, this is our minister here in Galatia, this is our minister here over in Corinth, this is our minister here over in, you know, whatever, Ephesus. And he's saying, yeah, I recognize this. That's the word he's using in an appointing, that he's recognizing that these are the ministers picked by the people. So that when he was bringing supplies or bringing funds for supplies, which we see him doing immediately with Barnabas, so that grain could come to those communities to feed them in these dearths that were sweeping across the Roman Empire, which the Bible and the Acts are telling you about, he wasn't withholding grain. He was making sure that it got delivered to the people of Corinth or Ephesus or Syria. But this bishop of Constantine, who did not repent and get baptized, just got baptized, who was imposing his doctrines and saying, oh, we can't have anything to do with you because you don't believe in the Trinity the way I believe in the Trinity. I'm going to starve everybody in Constantinople because too many people in Constantinople don't believe like I think you need to believe. That's a Christian bishop? No, that's a Constantinian bishop. But he was called a Christian bishop, still called that in, you know, you Google him. I won't even mention his name. He's not the only one. There's a lot more. He was willing to withhold that grain, withhold funds. And that's what you're going to see more and more, because if we do have food shortages, which it looks like all the things that I've seen that I don't even hear about in the news, but I see because things come to me, thanks to God, you know, thanks be to God, that, you will probably have food shortages here and there. You'll have dearths sweeping across different countries. And they will not let you shop. And, of course, if you don't have the mark of the beast, you already are being excluded. And I've added to that our article karagma, which is the Greek word for mark. I added quite a bit to that to explain that. And I'm doing this because we're going to have all kinds of shows that go into detail and show you the actual nexus, the actual what the facts are, to help you with your unbelief. Because I'm telling you that most of the people who think they're Christians today are actually doing the deeds of the Nicolaitans. They are following the error of Balaam. They're not real Christians. They're not really listening to the Holy Spirit. Now, if I tell you, if I start pointing out those people, I will be attacking their delusion. I'm just saying that's out there. Of course, the Bible tells you that you have to check all things, prove all things, you know, examine your own heart. Look at what are you doing, because what you're doing will tell you whether you really believe or not. I mean, if you did something that would return you to the bondage of Egypt, That would be the result of not following the way of Christ, because the way of Christ does not lead you back into Egypt. But that's where people have gone. They've gone back into Egypt. We can show you that. I mean, it's easy to prove. But not if you put your hands over your eyes and your ears and say, I'm not listening. You have to listen. And you have to get other people to listen. But be careful. They may turn on you and rent you under. We'll be right back.
Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe, so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. The point is that there are those who love darkness. You know, if you go to John 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, which we've talked about, means actually the Greek we see there is not born again, but born from above. Unless he be born from above, which is the Spirit, we always think of the kingdom of heaven as above. It's not actually geographically above us. It's in a higher plane. It's a higher dimension. It's a righteous dimension, closer to God, so to speak. Closer to the righteousness of God. You know, there are many levels to getting closer to the, and each level brings you closer to God, is moving towards heaven. Or you're moving to something that is farther away from the character and the righteousness of God, which is the darker realms, farther from heaven. And so anyway, unless you're born from above, your life comes from that place of righteousness. You cannot see the kingdom of God. So I'll talk about it. You're not going to see it unless you're receiving the Holy Spirit. But I can, that's why a lot of times I'm telling you what is not the kingdom of God, which is all those things you bump into in the dark that go bump in the night, in the darkness. You know, Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter in the second time into the mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. So now he's explaining what he means by born from above. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now you can think that born of water is water baptism, but actually when a baby is born, the water breaks surrounding the baby, and you see water come out, and then you see the baby come out, and so that's born of water. But born of Spirit is when you see the fruits of the Spirit coming out, and that's seen in the deeds, or at least that's evidence. The deeds are evidence of being born in the Spirit. So there are certain deeds that would be evidence that you're born of the Spirit, and there are certain deeds that would show that you're not born of the Spirit. And the deeds of the Nicolaitan show that you're not born of the Spirit. And Nicolaitan doesn't have anything to do with a guy named Nicholas, although some people assume that and have said that, and some churches have leaped on that and quoted that over and over again. Yet some of the same early people that they claim to be church fathers say it doesn't have anything to do with a guy named Nicholas. So, but they don't quote that guy. They only quote the guy that says it has something to do with Nicholas, because if you actually knew who the Nicolaitans were, you would know that something's wrong. Well, the Nicolaitans are the conquered people. That's what Nicolaitan means, conquered people. That's what Balaam means, is conquered people. How do you get conquered? Well, you go back into the bondage of Egypt, which is the same as the captivity of Babylon and the bondage of Babylon under Nimrod. And what was that? Well, we know the bondage of Egypt was 20% of your labor belonged to the government. Does any portion of your labor belong to the government? Well, if 20% does, you're at least in the bondage of Egypt. But we also know that you didn't really own your land, and we know that you didn't really own your livestock. The government owned it, and they owned a portion of your labor. That's the bondage of Egypt. Well, of course, we know you don't own your land, because if you don't pay your taxes for 2 to 3 years, they take your land away from you. So that's pretty good evidence that you don't own it. In Oregon, they actually cancel your title to the land if you owe 3 years of taxes. So you could owe, you know, what, $10,000, $20,000 maybe, and that will take a $200,000. Well, now, actually, there are houses that were selling for $150,000 a few years ago that are now selling for $300,000, $400,000 now. So you could, you know, your taxes could be just a few years behind, and they will take the whole thing away from you. Well, that's evidence that you don't really own it. And, of course, we show you in articles, you look up legal title at Preparing You. That's the definition of legal title. It doesn't include the beneficial interest, if you want, which is the right to own the property. That's just a matter of learning the definitions. But a lot of people, if you try to tell them this or explain it to them, they'll say, I'm not listening. I'm not listening. They'll cover their ears, and they'll cover their eyes, and they just won't want to look. And that's okay. But you're not going to find the kingdom of God, because you don't really want to see the light. You're not in love with the light, which they go on to explain, that that which is born of the flesh is flesh. So he's not talking about baptism. He's talking, when he says water, he's talking about born of the flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not. I said unto you, ye must be born again. So he's explained it now. So it's now it should be really clear. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth, so is every one that is born of the Spirit. So now he's done an analogy of the wind blowing, and of course we know that, you know, Jesus comes out of the tomb and breathes on the apostles and says, receive the Holy Spirit. Well, that's air blowing. Receive the Holy Spirit. We know that God breathed into Adam, and the Spirit of God was in him. And then he gave them dominion over the earth. If you have the Spirit of God in you, you should have dominion over the earth. If you don't have the Spirit of God in you, you will not dress it and keep it. You will lose it. You will not multiply upon the earth. You will actually try to decrease the number of people on the planet. You will say that you're going to manage the planet, but you will actually destroy it. You say that, you know, you care about life, but you will actually poison life. And you know, you'll care about one another, but you actually don't. You'll covet one another. But anyway, so this idea of this bloweth where it listeth, this is the Holy Spirit. But you can't tell whether you're following the Holy Spirit or not, because you can't not tell whence it cometh. Is it from the Holy Spirit, or is it from some other spirit? Well, he will go on and explain the rest of the story if you are willing to see the rest of the story. Because you're going to ask, well, how do I know it's... You can't tell whether it's the Holy Spirit or not, because evil can appear as an angel of light. So how do you know that it's the Holy Spirit? Well, you know, James says, you know, by your deeds, by what you do. But if you go on and read, like, verse 19, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Now, we know they love darkness because they censor. They don't want, you know, their algorithms were shutting off everybody on Twitter who said things they didn't want anybody to hear. I don't care if you hear the lie. I want you to hear the lie so you recognize the lie. But you will only recognize the lie if you're born of the Spirit. If you're born of the spirit of darkness, you will live from hate. You will live from judgment. You will be filled with fear and anxiety and delusions. You'll be a man, but you'll think you're a woman. Or you'll be a woman and you'll think you're a man. That's a delusion. That's a dysphoria about reality. That's just one little example. I mean, it's an obvious example. It should be obvious. It's not as obvious to everybody. But why do we see so much of that? It's because everybody lives in darkness. There's no end. They will think by killing you, they are loving their neighbor. They will think by letting you have an abortion rather than teaching you responsibility, that they are doing a good thing. That killing you will be a good thing. They will think that. Their deeds are evil. They covet their neighbor's goods. They want to take away from their neighbor. They don't want to accept responsibility. They don't want to say that, oh, well, I'm, you know, my actions got me into trouble. My choices got me into trouble. No, it's your choices that get me into trouble. You know, whether you're conservative or leftist, it doesn't make any difference. You know, right or left. There is no right or left to righteousness. Righteousness is righteousness, period. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. So if you're doing evil, you hate the light. Neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Like Adam in the garden. He hid. He hid from the light of God. He's still hiding from the light of God. He's running from the light of God, and so is most men. And if you're running from the light of God, the more the light of God comes, the more darkness you will seek out. And this is the problem today. Verse 21, but he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Now, that's, what did he say there? Did he say, but he that believeth the truth cometh to the light? Is that what he said? No. He that doeth truth. Because Jesus was saying this constantly. He had to be a doer of the word. There, the Church of Constantine says you just have to think the way they say you have to think. You have to believe in the Trinity according to the way they say to think about it. And then you're saved. But that's not what Jesus said. Jesus says you have to do with truth. And like I say, there is a Trinity. I mean, Trinity is just three things. And God the Father is a thing, a concept that we talk about. God the Creator, he's got a lot of different names. You know, like I say, singularity, all these kinds of things. You call Yahweh, all these different, the existing one. All these things are words that we have that try to identify, labels that we put on God. But God's not subject to our labels. God is what he is. He's the existing one. Whatever that is that creates this uniformity and this intelligent design that we see evidence of when we look out in the nature of things. But it's not what you think about God. It's what you do. You have to do with truth that cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest. This is why James is saying what they're doing will tell you whether they're following the Holy Spirit. Because we know that he's following the Holy Spirit because he sees certain things, but not just because he sees them, but because he does them. It's absolutely clear that if somebody is living because they have an appetite for benefits that are offered him by men who call themselves benefactors, but exercise authority by taking away from your neighbor to provide you with free stuff, that's a work of iniquity. That's not a product of the light. That will make you merchandise, which is what you were in the bondage of Egypt, which is what you are today, because everybody knows that at least 20% of your labor belongs to the state. Now, it always astounded me. Okay, like 14.5% or something like that is of your labor goes to pay into Social Security. I think it's actually maybe more than that now. Goes to pay into your Social Security. So that's right off the top. Now, there's hundreds of other kinds of taxes, but then there's an income tax. But if you make less than a certain amount, they'll give you a low income credit. They'll give you money back. But they're not giving you back your money. They're giving you back the money that they took from somebody else. They're redistributing wealth. And every society needs to redistribute wealth. But the means by which you do it is different in the kingdom of God. It's the reverse in the kingdom of God than it is in all the other kingdoms of the world. And that's what in the kingdom of God, you hopefully are filled with the Holy Spirit, and you choose to share your wealth with others. This is the communion of God, the Eucharist of God. It's thanksgiving, happy to give, happy to share. And then it's in that sharing that we create a free community. But the choice of how you share, when you share, who you share with, has to be with you. Because Christ came to set you free, which means to give you choice. Freedom is the right to choose. The right to create for oneself, that's the individual, the alternative of choice. Without the possibility of choice and the exercise of choice, a man is not a man, but a member, an instrument, a thing. If he's a thing, he can be merchandise. And of course, Peter says, through covetous practices, they will make merchandise of you. you are merchandise today as a citizen of Australia, the United States, European Union, whatever, because your labor does not belong to you. A portion of it does not belong to you. It belongs to somebody else. You're a surety for the debt of the nation in which you live, because you're a beneficiary of the nation in which you live, and the nation in which you live has men, rulers, who call themselves benefactors, but only give you what they take away from your neighbor, which is, by definition, a covetous practice. If you desire those benefits, those rewards of those benefactors, those gifts, gratuities, and benefits, you are desirous of the dainties of rulers. And, of course, Proverbs tells you, if you are desirous of the dainties, if you have an appetite for those dainties, put a knife to your throat. And that's because their table is a snare. Psalms tells you this. David tells you this. And Peter quotes David telling you that what should have been for your welfare is a snare. Because it's a covetous practice, which Peter tells you will make you merchandise, make you a thing, because it takes away choice. And here is the mystery of the kingdom of God, is that it isn't so much that they take away from you. That's not the bad thing. It's not bad that they tax you. That, I mean, they should tax you, because you've been slothful. And we know that the Bible also tells us that the slothful shall be under tribute. So that's part of the cause and effect. That's the wrath of God. So, yeah, the governments of the world who are taxing the heck out of you now, both with overt taxes, direct taxes, indirect taxes, and, of course, the biggest tax of all is inflation, they should tax you because you should be punished. Now, I'm not judging you personally. I'm just saying that's the cause and effect. If you're slothful in the ways of righteousness, which is the redistribution of wealth through charity, by your choice, your freedom to choose who to give to, when to give, how much to give, that should be your choice. If you've given up that choice and say, oh, well, I'll let this guy decide, Bill Clinton decide, or Obama decide, or George Washington to decide. Of course, George Washington didn't have these systems of social welfare till FDR. I mean, we had the covetous practices before FDR, but as a system of social welfare, we needed FDR, and of course, then you're going to need a caragma, some sort of identifier to identify you as a member. Remember, you're no longer a man, you're a member of a system of social welfare that is based on force. So he had to give you an identifying number. And, of course, if you look in Title 42, Section 666, it says that identifying number. I mean, this is their codes. I didn't make that up. We have an article on that. You can look that up at Preparing You. We show you the code. I was shocked. Like, did they number the code 666 on purpose? I don't want to get it like it's numerology or anything. They could have made that choice just to rub your nose in it. But you have to have a social security number to do almost anything. That's your caragma. You know, go look up caragma. It's C-H-A-R, I think I have to even look it up myself. Anyway, if you do a couple of searches at Preparing You, you can find it. I mean, you search it on Google, you might find it. There's not a lot of people talking about it but us. But that's your badge of servitude. That shows that you owe them, you're a beneficiary of their system that's based on force, not love, not charity, but legal charity. And because you're looking to that system and you are a registered beneficiary of that system, if that system is in debt, you become a surety for that debt. I've told this story before, but I knew a guy whose father had all kinds of money, and he died, and he was the executor of the estate. He was named that in the will. And so he took over as executor of the estate to determine who was going to get what, you know, based on the will. And he was looking through all of his father's affairs, and he saw all these debts over here, and then he saw all these assets over here, and he added them up, and he realized it owed more than it had. And he immediately resigned his position as executor of the will. Why? Because he realized, I'm not going to inherit anything but debt. Because he could, you could, as a beneficiary, you could actually inherit that debt. But fortunately, in American law, he could actually, because it still existed. I mean, it did a couple of months ago. I don't know. It could change any moment. That he could resign that position and waive his right to the benefits of inheritance, and then he doesn't owe the debt. If he actually inherited money, if they actually had assets in his father's estate, he actually has to give a portion of that money to the government because of inheritance tax, because the government has long been a robber of widows and orphans. And all this happened while you were going to church, the Church of Constantine, and singing your songs and believing in your imagination. The old normal is what brought you the new normal. Because the old normal was based on a lie, that you were saved in following the ways of Christ. You have been workers of iniquity for a long time now. Even before FDR and his New Deal, and before LBJ and his war on poverty, all those are based on legal charity. They are all rulers who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority one over the other. You are not to be like that or a part of that, but you all are, because you've been fed a strong delusion that you're Christians because you think certain things, instead of actually doing righteousness. You're not a doer of truth. You don't doeth truth, but you're actually workers of iniquity. Your deeds were evil. They've been evil in America for a long time. Now, a lot of you, you know, you just grew up here, and you were told that it was this way or it was that way, and now I'm saying, that ain't so. It ain't that way. That is not Christianity. Christianity is a redistribution of wealth, a taking care of the widows and orphans and needy of your society through love. Same word, love, I've added to the page on love because of this word agape, which is also translated charity. There's two words translated love in the New Testament. And philio and agape. And agape has numerous different forms. There's agape and all this stuff. So a lot of times when Paul says the word, it's translated charity, because that's the nature of love. Charity is sacrifice. It's you taking something that you have a right to and giving to somebody else who doesn't have a right to it, but they need it. And out of love, you give them charity. And that is the way of the kingdom of God. The way of the world is to force contributions. And when you either borrow against the future or you rob your partner, you murder him, and then that's the reverse of the kingdom of God. So now you have a little bit of a picture. We'll talk more about this in the afternoon show. Join the network, because we're going to talk about other things. Till then, feast on your house, and may God be with you. That's it.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97643. 1-800-530-1140. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.
Since the beginning of time, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it, it has been traded, it has been borrowed, it has been purchased, it has been stolen, there's a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty, to ourselves and to our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188 or visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, right here on FirstAmendmentRadio.com at 4 p.m. Eastern or 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, 1-800-375-4188.
Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas, and this is a live weekly prophecy reality worldview edition. We turn on the studio cam once a week, enter the chat room, and engage the culture, I guess. The rest of the week, while we've been going through various other studies right now, we're in Isaiah. So if you're listening throughout the rest of the week, I hope that you're enjoying that and being edified by it. I certainly am learning a lot from going through the study again. And boy, it has a lot to say in the days we live in. Okay, we're going to talk about news, current events, whatever you'd like to add in the chat room, anything you'd like to talk about, just put it in there. And then we'll probably spend some time on a few prophecy topics, things I'm kind of delving into in the side. I'm still thinking about what my next book will be. And I think I'm going to do a book that focuses entirely on the millennium issue or the millennium debate and really amillennialism versus premillennialism. Because every book I've written, I mean, every book I've read, you know, kind of like this one here, A Case for Amillennialism by Kim Riddlebarger, they're all based upon a false dichotomy. They always pit amillennialism against dispensationalism because dispensationalists are all premillennials. But the actual book that should be written is amillennialism versus premillennialism, and everything else is superfluous to the argument, but it's that upon which they build their argument. So their argument is dependent upon the failure or the faults that they can find in dispensationalism, and not on what the Bible says or not on the true standing that amillennialism has in the Bible, because that's the problem with it. So I think I may have to present a work specifically pitting one view against the other, and we have a true argument, a true dispute, a true dichotomy between two different views, and see which one stands by the scriptures. And so we'll talk a little bit about some of those, what those arguments are about, and what some of the proofs are that I believe will topple amillennialism. And which none of these authors, like I've had some contact with Kim Riddlebarger myself in the last week or 10 days, and He's not interested in a strictly biblical dispute. And I think, you know, maybe age, it maybe he doesn't have time, so I can't really judge him on that because I don't know his circumstance. But I do know that he wrote the first iteration. He did a update of his book or a second edition. And, but his first edition came out nearly 20 years ago. So, you know, people get hardened in their positions. And, if I had written 20 years ago, it would have been a different book than any of the books I've written now after thoroughly studying them over the last 20 years, these topics. Okay. Let's look at a scripture first. Let's start out with that. 1 Peter 3:8. Finally, speaking of the days in which we live and what we should be doing, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days. So if you want to enjoy your life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? But and if, I like this caveat, I'm glad he puts it in here, especially for the days that we live in, but and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. Yeah. Words to live by for the days that we're living in. Okay. Let's see. We got, Ukraine. The Second World War continues. And I guess there's an argument. Has World War II ever ended? I know that the war between Russia and Japan, where was it? Russia and Japan? I guess that one never ended. Yeah, that's what I'm hearing these days. And it's really been continual war since World War I. It's been a continual world war. All of these wars, are brought about in, by the Antichrist and his shadow government through their intrigue. They are responsible for most of the wars over the last five or six hundred years, as long as that dubious order was established that took over the office of the Inquisition and really is the army of the shadow government that rules the world for the Antichrist. They are responsible for the intrigue that's going on through much of the world today. Many people point to America, even many Americans, and they call America an imperialist nation. But is America really imperialist? Okay, well, your imperial powers of the past have, starting with Rome, with imperial pagan Rome, would conquer and establish governments and tax those different nations and establish their government in those nations. and they conquered the world, well, the then known world, for the most part. They were an imperial power. And of course, America does that. We've conquered 50 states so far, and every time we conquered one, we added it as another state. Isn't that how it works? Well, no, that even sounds ridiculous for me to say that. So America, as we know it, was not built on imperialism per se. I mean, many people can argue that, yes, that we did overcome the native populations, which were sparse in this land. For some reason, they didn't prosper and populate the land themselves for whatever reasons. I don't know. Maybe they were too busy warring against each other, taking slaves from each other as they conquered each other back and forth over and over, through much of the Western United States anyway, and likely the Eastern United States, the several Indian nations. That was pretty much the norm for them. Although there were some peaceful times or perhaps even peaceful tribes, but those peaceful tribes would not prosper long, as given the nature of mankind. It isn't because the white man came. It is because more men came and human nature tends to war rather than peace, because we are at war with the God that created us, and therefore at war with each other. It is sin. It's not the white race. It's not the brown race. It's not the Jews. It's not the who and this and that and the Russians and the Ukrainians. And it's not the Democrats and it's not the Republicans. But it is mankind and our Adamic sin nature that brings about all of these wars and will continue until Christ comes and brings some semblance of peace to the earth for the most part of the millennium. And we'll talk about that a little bit more. Okay. Now we're going to violate rules of Twitter and rules of speaking of current events and the whole Elon Musk thing taking over Twitter. We'll see. I mean, I don't really care. I do have a Twitter account. Maybe I've got a couple of them. I know I have at least one. I think I have a First Amendment Radio Twitter account too. And I post regularly. Well, I don't post. Every time I sent out posts this morning on my WordPress account, it automatically sends one to Twitter. So I like that. I don't have to mess with it. Well, all I can say is it can only be a good thing if I have to comment on the Elon Musk thing. You know, the guy who lives off of corporate welfare from the state and the redistribution of wealth. That guy, the richest guy in the world right now. And where did all his riches come? Not from selling a product that everybody must have and purchase. No, it's corporate welfare and redistribution of wealth and, corporatocracy that brought about his riches. But at least perhaps he was wise enough to know where the riches come from in the present environment or economy of the day. But it can only be, it can only get better, I think. I hope. When I think about it, I don't know nothing, man. We'll see what happens with Twitter. Twitter is not in Bible prophecy, okay? Yeah, nothing about twitting in Bible prophecy, but I hope it'll be a good thing and perhaps bring a little more freedom of speech to that venue. And speaking of freedom of speech, well, we have the next headline I'm looking at here is Moderna knew vaccinated people will never acquire proper immunity after breakthrough infections. That means they immediately knew then. But I believe that they knew even before then. I believe that they knew before they started the whole thing and before they even supposedly, for public consumption, developed what they're pumping into people's veins. Yes, they did know. And a lot of this information's coming out with the freedom of, what do they call that? Where you can request documents, Freedom of Information Act. That's right. And one judge who stood up and said they had to release all of this information, I think 50,000 pages or documents at a time or something per month instead of all at once, because they said it would take them 70 years at first, or first they said 50 and then 70, and there's no reason why. Let's see. Oh, I got this from Tom W. in the chat room here. A biblically accurate description of the millennial years would bring much hope by clarifying much deception and false ideas out there now. Now, thank you for that, Tom W. Yeah, he says it twice. Well, thank you for that. I appreciate any input. But that seems to be where I'm going with my next publication and my to really iron the situation out, because getting off of the, we'll get back to the news a little bit. But when I read a book like this, or Sam Storm's book, and there are plenty of other books out there, there's so much superfluous information that in this book that has nothing to do with the argument. And I don't know, it kind of reminds me of an old saying, if you can't dazzle them with brilliance, baffle them with, bull hockey. There you go. And that's kind of, that's not very kind of me to say that, but it's true. And I'm not saying they intentionally set out to do that, but like I said, that's what superfluous information is. Information that has nothing to do with the topic, but somehow seems to verify to them their thesis. But it takes away from the true argument where it should be. What does the Word of God say? And I was thinking about private interpretation too. We have a scripture verse here. Let me see. I have that scripture verse here. And that is, that's also from Peter, 2 Peter. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Of course, that statement, we read about that in the Gospels, and that is the opening of the 70th week at the baptism of John. Continuing in verse 18, "And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." So what is a private interpretation? What is this private interpretation that Peter here speaks of? Yeah, private, pertaining to self, that is one's own, by implication private or separate. Yeah, set apart, let's see, apart, alone, aside. And so if it's private, or it is from the Word of God, I believe that's what our determination has to be. Because if our interpretation is from the Word of God, because that's what he's speaking here, of knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. So when we look for our interpretation, we must look for it in the Scripture. Even Nebuchadnezzar, we read about in chapter 2 of Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and this dream was from God. God gave him this dream. It was kind of like God spoke his word to Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar received the word of God in a dream. And well, of course, we know this is verified. Not every dream that Nebuchadnezzar had was from God, I'm sure, but this one was. Let's see, Nebuchadnezzar knew something, because he told all the wise men and the soothsayers and of his country, of Babylon, you know, all of his advisors. He said, I had a dream, and I want you all to tell me the interpretation thereof. But I'm not going to tell you what the dream was, because I know that you'll give me a private interpretation, because your interpretation won't come from the same place that the dream came from. I mean, if you've ever had a dream from God, you know. You know it was from him. You know that he gave it to you. Or if you had an encounter with God, you know it. Okay? And he knew that whoever would give him the interpretation would have to get it from the same place that he got the dream. Otherwise, they would just be making up a private interpretation. They would just make something up. And that wasn't what he was looking for. He wanted the interpretation to come from the same place that the dream came from, because that dream was an experience unlike any other he had. He knew that there was something different about that, that it wasn't just out of his own mind. So they told him, this is an impossible thing you ask. Well, he said, tough. If you don't tell me the dream and the interpretation, I'm going to kill every single one of you. So he got them all together there, and they're going, no man can do this. Well, fortunately, there was a man who could do this. And his name was Daniel. And Daniel gave him the dream and the interpretation. And you notice when he did, you know, Nebuchadnezzar didn't correct him on anything at all. You know, well, it wasn't quite, no, he agreed with everything. And how could he, after the man gave him the interpretation perfectly, I mean the dream perfectly, give him an interpretation? He didn't question it either, the interpretation either. He accepted it wholly as from God, and even glorified Daniel and the God of Daniel who gave him the dream and the interpretation. And you know, that's what we're looking for when we look to the Word of God, and we want the interpretation to be from the same source that the Word of God came from. And therefore, we must find the interpretation in God's Word. Yeah, first of all. Anyway, we're going into a break, and we'll talk about some new news and current events when we get back. Don't go anywhere.
Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org. When it comes to prophecy today, much of the evangelical Christian world has their eyes on Israel, waiting and watching to see when the third temple will begin to be built. The plans are drawn. The Jewish people are eager. Most evangelical Christians today believe that the rapture will happen before the third temple is built. Hi, I'm Michael Eugene. I was taught that Daniel's 70th week was in the future. Is that really what the Bible teaches? Have we searched the scriptures and found this to be true? Why is it so important for a reestablished Israel to build a third temple in Jerusalem? Is it necessary to build a temple on the same location already occupied by the Dome of the Rock? Is it necessary for sacrifices to take place in the temple on Temple Mount? Is there really a rapture followed by 7 years of tribulation? What is the New Testament temple? Can we identify history and prophecy? Who is the first beast in Revelation chapter 13? Who are the seven kings in Revelation 17? I have asked all these questions, and I have found Nicholas Arthur's new book, When the Third Temple is Built, answers all these questions and more using Scripture to interpret Scripture. The Bible says that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Nicholas shows us in his book, When the Third Temple is Built, how the Bible interprets prophecy and not man's private interpretation. visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Well, welcome back. You're listening Across the Border. This is a live prophecy reality edition. It's good to see everyone here in the chat room. And thank you all for all of you who are listening to the live broadcast here. Appreciate you showing up. Let's see. Evidence of election fraud in French presidential elections. Well, this is the New World Order. Elections are fraudulent everywhere. And of course we have a WEF, young global world leader who is the, Macron. Did he win again? I didn't pay much attention to the presidential elections over there in France. Okay. Let's see. I guess that's Macron there. Evidence of election fraud has emerged from the recent French presidential elections, which handed a victory to Emmanuel Macron. Now, it seems to me that Emmanuel Macron has not been very popular in France. It's probably as popular as Joe Biden has been in America. But they keep handing the people these elections for people that are very unpopular. So unpopular that they can draw 13 circles of people instead of tens of thousands, and on and on. And they expect the people to believe this. These people that are running the elections, they've learned to use fraud, and what can you do about it? Well, we'll see what happens in the elections coming up in the United States. How much will people stand for? All I know is that prophecy will be fulfilled one way or another, but I say the French people should do the same thing that the American people do through all of the fraud, lies, deceit, and great delusion of the world around them, and that is resist the evil. Let's see, in this first video, I'm not going to watch a video here. France's two news anchor announces that the data received directly from France's Ministry of the Interior showed Marine Le Pen was slightly ahead of Macron with exactly 13,899,494 votes. But by the end of the night, her vote tally had decreased by over 1.13 million. Now, how does a vote tally decrease? This causing many to cry foul. Does this sound familiar? Yeah. Yeah, this sounds very familiar. Yeah, it keeps sounding more familiar all the time. They can always do vote corrections whenever the chosen candidate isn't popular enough to pull it off, or doesn't have enough cheating going on to overcome what they thought would be the difference. We've seen that happen here in the United States. California has been cheating for decades. Yeah. That's how California went from conservative to liberal over the last 30 years by cheating over and over. Now we have a dynasty in California. Well, actually the whole West Coast. There's a West Coast dynasty, that political dynasty that are really king and queen makers on the western coast of the United States of America. That's the way that works. So the Antichrist rules the world, and if the people, as long as the Antichrist has to put up with giving people a right to choose and elections and some kind of choice in things, they could always cheat their way out of that one. If they can't outright strip the people of their right to vote, they can just steal the vote from them and give them the illusion that they actually have a voice that'll keep them calmer while they murder the masses and strip their rights and their liberties from them. Okay, let's see, a recap of the Ukraine war in Ukraine. Oh, this is the same show, been going on for decades over there. It's just, they just flare it up, whenever they need to change the narrative in the news. And they've needed to change the narrative because they want to bring back the narrative, but it was getting a little too hot that they didn't think that they could handle it any longer and keep the people under. So they had to change the narrative and put something else in the headlines. And I think a lot of people understand that. But perhaps, well, unfortunately, a lot of people isn't enough, because most people are either not paying attention or totally bought into the mainstream narrative of what they're selling. Okay, we have a major study here. You won't hear this on the mainstream news. As a matter of fact, you may not hear this on YouTube after this broadcast, because this broadcast will probably be taken off of YouTube just for saying this, for reading these headlines. COVID vaccines increase risk of severe heart inflammation up to 120-fold. So if you were at risk for heart inflammation, severe heart inflammation before or at all, now you're at 120-fold risk of heart inflammation if you take the COVID so-called vaccines. Yes, major study finds. Well, let's take a look at that one there. Let's see. The V increases the risk of severe heart inflammation up to 120-fold. A major study from Scandinavia published in the Journal of the American Medical Association. Hey, this is in a mainstream medical association journal. Well, they shouldn't take my video down from YouTube for that, should they? Because we're quoting a JAMA article? Yeah. The study looked at over 23 million patient records covering the over 12s, that's people over 12 years old, covering the over 12s population of Denmark, Finland, Norway, and Sweden from the start of the V rollout in December 2020 to October 5th, 2021. For young males aged 16 to 24, within 28 days of a second dose, the study found severe myocarditis requiring inpatient hospital admission around 5 times more common after Pfizer and 14 times more common after Moderna. This corresponds to 6 events per 100,000 people after Pfizer and 18 events per 100,000 after Moderna. A second dose of the Moderna given after the first dose of Pfizer came with even higher risk a 36-fold increase, corresponding to 27 events per 100,000 people. The Moderna vaccine has three times the dose of mRNA of the Pfizer vaccine, which the authors suggest lies behind the increased risk. It's kind of like this. You know, the word of God, okay, is God's code, is his word too. And he wrote it in his creation. And we call it the genetic code. What happens when you alter the genetic code or God's word? Well, you have error. Because, you know, there are so many bits of information in the genetic code. They say that if you strung it out, it could go from here to the moon, whatever that means. I have no idea. But it's just mind-boggling. But I did like the illustration of where, as a surgeon uses a scalpel to do surgery, you know, on your body, gene editing, as it exists today, is like using a chainsaw to do surgery. Yeah. It's not very accurate because they don't have enough information. You don't know if you change one gene here, how it's going to affect some gene over somewhere else that you're not paying any attention to because you have no idea. The code, you didn't write it. You don't understand it all. You understand very little of it. Yeah, very little. And that's what's going on. That's why, in the first place, I would never take it, you know? Yeah, because I don't trust man enough. I do not trust in the arm of flesh, especially when it comes to the things of God. And our genetic code is the thing of God. Yeah. Okay, so the author observes that among males aged 16 to 24, the risk was around 13-fold greater. Second dose of Moderna, where the first dose of Pfizer, the risk was 120-fold greater. It's worth noting that the bar for myocarditis is very high, excluding even those who receive medical attention as a hospital outpatient, let alone anything milder. Even the milder cases, however, may cause long-term damage. So, and, you know, I like this, that they're mitigating the damage to only people who require emergency help. What they're saying is it's much, much worse. The study found that the severe myocarditis risk following COVID and infection was negligible. Yeah, meaning if you actually get the COVID flu or whatever it is, that it's negligible. So you're better off getting the virus than not. And plus, we've also found out that the shots do not prevent you from contracting or spreading the so-called virus that will negligibly give you myocarditis, whereas taking the supposed, you know, the advertised cure will increase your risk. Yes. What did they say? How many times? Yeah. 120-fold risk over getting it from, yeah, the flu, what they're telling you that you're taking the shot for. Ridiculous. And to think they want to bring this back, and likely will. Yeah. I mean, they're still locked down over there in Shanghai. They're trying to Shanghai the world. Yeah. Remember, in the history, you heard about people getting Shanghai'd, right? They would, ship captains would kidnap men to work on their ships. They would Shanghai them and make them slaves on their ships. Yeah. Because they had a hard time recruiting people to work on their ships. So they would get Shanghai'd. Well, I guess at first they Wuhan'd the world, and now they're attempting to Shanghai the world. Will it work? Will the people go for it again? Well, I hope not. And let me tell you that everything going on over there in China is a shadow government operation of the Antichrist. That's right. Yeah, you want to do a little study on that someday. The Jesuit influence in China, it may astound you, but it shouldn't surprise you at all to know that the Antichrist has his shadow government more strongly entrenched. It seems that he could not get it more strongly entrenched anywhere in the world than he has, say, in Washington, D.C. Yeah, Washington, D.C. belongs to the Antichrist. When I think about the American Beast, well, the head of the American Beast is Washington, D.C. That's really where the dragon speaks, and it just kind of is broadcast from there and enters the hearts and minds of people throughout the 50 states of the United States of America, and even infiltrates into the governments and the bureaucracies of the nationwide. The Antichrist and his shadow government are so entrenched everywhere throughout the entire world that it seems like there's no way to undo it. But we can continue to resist, and we should, with every ounce of energy that we have, and we should get behind anyone who is resisting that Antichrist power that has overtaken the entire world. And Christ will clean it up for us at the end. Yeah, when he comes, he will cast both the beast and the false prophet and all of those rulers of evil and the governments that they created. Yeah, they will be cast into the lake of fire. They will be done away with. They will be blown away like the chaff of the threshing floor, going back to our Daniel chapter 2 illustration of the destruction of the mystery Babylon image. Yeah, coming soon to the world. Yeah, and a neighborhood near you. It will happen worldwide. And at that time, we will switch places. We will, if we're still and alive and remain, we will be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, to join Christ in the air. And all of those, if I don't make it when that, you know, if I pass my mortality, comes before that day, then I will be raised from the dead and those that are alive and remain will be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. And then we will be caught up, the Bible says, together. That is, those that were raised from the dead and those that were changed because they happened to be living at that time. They will be the minority, but they will be caught. We will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air and return with him. Yeah. Is the video not working? Well, it was working when I started the broadcast. Let me see.
We believe in providing them.
Oh, it sounds like it's working to me. Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. I would have to refresh that to know if it's currently working. Okay, well, I'll check that out. Definitely. Let me see.
Refresh that to make.
Oh, that sounds like it's working and on time because it just repeated what I just said. Okay, well, I hope that answers your question. Dale, in the chat room, seems that all the audio and everything is working fine. Okay, we're coming up on the end of this segment here. And speaking of the New World Order and a prophetic worldview, how it stands. Yes, right out of chat panel. Thank you for that. Okay, let's see what our next item here is. The next item. Ex-NATO analyst paints a completely different picture of the Ukraine war. Ex-NATO analyst. Well, that might be a good view. It might be a little more true because what most people see about the Ukraine war is propaganda in the West, that is propaganda. But if you go to alternate sources, you can get a much clearer historical and a true view of what's going on the ground. So I would say probably a minority of the people know really what's going on or have a mostly, or have a more clear understanding what's actually going on the ground right now in Ukraine. It's just a large psyop. It's a diversion. And whether World War III, it's got to be enough propaganda coming out to stir up all these fears and keep the public in fear. And then with all of the shortages, and believe me, I'm feeling it, the shortages myself and the supply chain disruption. I fear that I'm never going to get my well in simply because they can't get well casing or whatever the problem is with all the well drillers here in California, that they don't have enough materials and parts for their rigs to keep these jobs going. And I've been waiting, well, going on a year now. Yeah. And I would like water. I'm actually, can't do some projects that I would like to do, like growing food and some other projects that I would like to take on before the summer comes. Let's see. Your name and where you're calling from. You're on the air. Yes, indeed. It never ends. Yes, I don't know who that person is that calls in and doesn't say anything, but I am praying for that person that the truth will penetrate their heart and that God will deal with them and maybe even bring them to eternal life and the resurrection of the dead. Hey, we can hope that for even our enemies. And praise God that that is the will of God, that that be our heart toward those that are lost. Okay, so ex-NATO analyst, yeah. COVID vaccines and risk, we read that one. Kill shot psychiatry, George Carlin. Yes, George Carlin is dead. John Rappaport, that would be a good article to read. But yeah, go to lewrockwell.com. You can get a lot of alternative libertarian, yes, and even rebellious Catholic view over there. Yeah. U.S. makes clear its aim to weaken Russia. Yeah, that's just more of the plot that's going on with the whole Ukraine thing. And I think you can't even criticize the mainstream narrative or you'll get banned or taken off or get a strike on many platforms, even one that I'm on right now. So just for doing the news and giving an honest assessment of what's going on in the world, yes, I will likely have to delete this video from YouTube right away. But don't worry if you miss it. I'll put it up later from another one of our end sources there. Okay. Yes, so the aim is to weaken Russia, but I think it's weakening us just as much, not to mention what's going on in China. It's all part of the same scheme to weaken the whole world against the rule of the Antichrist and his shadow government. Because when there's chaos, when there's disorder, when people are suffering, when there's war, when there's famine, when there's food shortages, he has a means to greater control of the populations. And that's what it's all about. Okay, a lot of good articles here. The NIH knows, National Institutes of Health, now knows that the COVID vaccines can cause death 1 year from the vaccination date. No, really? Well, they also know that, yeah, most people that die from the vaccine die within 48 hours. Yeah, okay. But they're saying that more people are going to die after a year. the NIH knows this now. So, yeah, the NIH knows it now. See, a 61-year-old man, and I'm older than that, got one dose of COVID vaccine, developed severe neuropathy within days. It continued for a year until he died of a stroke and massive blood clots. So it's been called the clot shot.
This is American Family News. I'm Steve Jordahl. This might not come as a surprise to those of you struggling with the Biden inflation boom, but according to the most recent Consumer Price Index report, prices rose 8.5% in March compared to the year prior. Prices are going up at the fastest rate since the early 1980s. Speaking on Fox's America's Newsroom, Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina said the American people will blame President Biden.
We're begging other countries around the world to produce more oil and gas because they can't do it here at home because they ran into the squad. So the American people are going to lay the blame at the feet of Joe Biden.
Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi says she does not think that Americans are blaming President Biden but are blaming the gas companies, also saying that citizens will blame them all if something is not done. A federal judge ordered a two-week halt Wednesday on the phasing out of pandemic-related restrictions on seeking asylum and raised doubts about the Biden administration's plan to fully lift those restrictions on May 23rd. For now, the decision is only a temporary setback for the administration, but the judge staked out a position that is highly sympathetic with Louisiana, Arizona, and 19 other states that sued to preserve so-called Title 42 authority, which denies migrants a chance at asylum on grounds of preventing the spread of COVID-19. Elon Musk is about to get inside Twitter headquarters, and all of a sudden, a number of metrics are being discovered to be different from what the company had previously said. Twitter says it miscounted its user figures for several years, for example. Fox's Kristen Goodwin explains.
Twitter revealing in an earnings report it overstated the number of daily active users it had between 2019 and 2021. Explaining in 2019, it rolled out a feature allowing folks to link multiple separate accounts, helping them switch back and forth between them. However, because of this, users with multiple accounts were mistakenly counted as multiple people, leading to reps overcounting by up to 1.9 million users each quarter. The platform currently has 229 million daily active users. Kristen Goodwin, Fox News.
The number of followers of several conservative accounts skyrocketed right after Musk said he wanted to expose the algorithms the company uses, while followers of several liberal accounts plummeted. That's led to speculation that the company had been shadow banning conservative accounts and was about to be found out, so they made the corrections. A new poll shows that the Republican senatorial primary candidate, endorsed by former President Donald Trump, has a 5-point lead, but AFN's Chad Groening says it's anything but safe.
Much has been made of Trump's endorsement of J.D. Vance during a recent rally at the Delaware County, Ohio fairgrounds. Trump cast Vance as the best chance to keep the Senate seat in Republican hands. And a new poll by Fox News shows Vance surging ahead of Josh Mandel, who had been the frontrunner in the polls leading up to the April 23rd rally. But Tom Zawisowski, who is president of the Tea Party affiliated We the People Convention, says if you read the methodology behind the poll, there is more than meets the eye.
If you read it, you will understand that this is bad news for J.D. Vance. In the middle of this article, it says the contest appears fluid. Vance's 5-point advantage is within the survey's margin of sampling error. And the largest number of primary voters, 25%, which is more than the 23% they claim he has, remains undecided. Moreover, half of those currently supporting a candidate say they could change their minds.
So Zawisowski does not think that Vance does have this thing won by any means.
This thing is up for grabs, and any of the candidates could win next Tuesday. That's how fluid this is.
According to a compilation of polls by Real Clear Politics, Vance and Mandel are in a dead heat for the lead. I'm Chad Groening.
And finally, sirens blared across Israel early Thursday as the country came to a standstill in an annual ritual honoring the 6 million Jews murdered during the Holocaust. People halted where they were walking. Drivers stopped their cars to get out of the vehicles as people bowed their heads in memory of the victims of the Nazi genocide. For American Family News, I'm Steve Jordahl.
It's Monday, April 25th, AD 2022. This is The World View in 5 minutes, written by yours truly and heard at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Even though the public threat of ISIS has largely subsided in Syria, Christians still grapple with daily persecution that may become violent, reports International Christian Concern. Every Christian in Syria lives with the constant realization that Islamic extremists have not necessarily left Syria. They've just retreated into the shadows. As the Christian population of Syria has diminished due to the civil war, more and more Syrian Christians